Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and as always, I have my two good friends, Mikey and John, joining me here today. Boys, there's a new man in charge. Brett Bielema is the new head football coach for our Fighting Illini. So I want to get into that, but right off the jump, what are your initial thoughts on the new hire?
At first, I really wanted Buffalo's coach, Leopold. Just because I thought he was somebody that we could get to come in and really buy into our program, because I think that's extremely important at the collegiate level. But the more I've watched and listened and learned about Brett Bielema, I am super stoked for this hire. I've probably watched his introductory press conference two or three times now, and just hearing him talk, and I feel like I'm still a part of the program in a way. He has that gravitational pull, you could say, of a head coach. So I'm super excited for him, and definitely know that Josh Whitman did all the vetting he needed to. I believe he mentioned that he spoke with Bill Belichick for 45 minutes about Coach Bielema, and he spoke really highly of him. So anytime you get a coach of arguably the best coach in NFL history, or one of them, giving you the nod on somebody that you're going to hire. It speaks a lot. So I'm super excited, and hopefully Coach Bielema could come in and turn this program and get them going in the right direction.
Yeah, I know for me personally, I was my reactions in the last podcast we taped were not too favorable in terms of when Robert was throwing out Brett Bielema's name. And I think that's just sheer ignorance on my part. I looked into each of the candidates that we had talked about to a degree, but knowing Whitman and how he operates, I wasn't going to sell myself or dive, incredibly deep into anything, because he could pull something out of left field, like a Coach Lovie Smith or a Brad Underwood. So with that in mind, I was, thinking of Brett Bielema, the meme, Brett Bielema, the guy who kind of trashed the Big Ten on his way out because he wanted to go be the big bad man in the SEC. And then a guy who I knew, was kind of bouncing around the NFL, but hadn't done anything since his firing at Arkansas. So with that in mind, that's what kind of informed me thinking about him as a prospective head coach. But Mikey, I'm in lockstep with you in terms of how excited I am after, reading up a couple things about him, and even just the way that he interviews. The press conference was great. He spoke right to me when he towards the end talked about penalties, turnovers, and mental errors. I just wanted to kiss that man right on the lips. I was like, this is what, like, the frustration that had built over the past couple months, and I let go in a couple of our podcasts, because, like, I understand that Lovie Smith is not out there he's not trying to not hold guys accountable. He's doing what he can. His emphasis is more on turnovers, obviously. And he's going to try and hold dudes accountable, but it's the manner in which he went about it, because he treats them like adults when sometimes 18 and 19 year olds still need to be treated like kids. And that's one of the things that I think never was connected with Lovie Smith, is that he never really understood, okay, there is a certain amount of, like, not only parenting as like a mentor, but parenting is in, like, you need to get your act together type stuff, and hold them accountable to a degree that maybe they wouldn't be in another realm. And sometimes, that's just personality types. And some guys, like, I know driven people like Isaiah Williams probably really connected with Lovie Smith, and we're not really here to hash that all out, but it's more of like, I was super excited hearing him talk like that, because it seems like it's not only just an act or like coach speak. He seemed, especially with his press conference, like he genuinely meant what he was saying, and he kind of was able to not mask his coach speak, but he was able to come through with a very conversational tone, and connect really well. And I think that's going to help in terms of his recruiting cell and just his connection with the fan base, and how, even not even those two things, but even just the players. I think that'll go very far. And obviously, Mike, you can speak better to that, but that's just stuff that I identified with in just the brief bits of information he's given us.
Yeah. My initial take was pretty much the same as you, John. Like, before I knew Brett Bielema, my initial impression's not the most favorable of him. Just what I've seen from his time at Wisconsin. He had tremendous success there, and then went to Arkansas, didn't fare as well, and was kind of bounced pretty quickly. There's the infamous picture of him on the internet with his shirt off. Seems like a pretty fun, loving guy, but not maybe not necessarily the guy you want representing your football program. But boy, was I blown away with his press conference and the way he presented himself in the university and the excitement he has looking forward to this new role with Illinois. I was one of the things I was most impressed with, and I think tip of the cap to Josh Whitman here too. As Coach Bielema said, he kind of helped aid him and guide him in this direction, but reaching out to the head of the Illinois High School Football Coaches Association within the first 5 hours of his hire, where I believe in the previous tenure, Coach Lovie Smith, you know, I don't know that he reached out to him once. So just getting off on the right foot with that, with the in-state recruits and his press conference, it was a good mix of emotion, expectations, but being authentic, and even a couple quips in there about the Illinois toll road and setting some roadblocks to make sure kids aren't getting out of the state. So by all accounts, I was really impressed with his initial press conference and, you know, what he's envisions for this program moving forward.
Yeah, I think, Dan, like you said, with the in-state recruiting, I loved how he reached out to the head of the association and is going to put a strong emphasis moving forward on locking down the state, because I believe this year, not one player of the top 25 recruits from the state of Illinois is going to Illinois. And that's a huge issue. And I felt like the staff in the past put a more emphasis on going and recruiting Texas and Florida instead of realizing, okay, we have talent in our state and really good talent. You know, a lot of our players they're going to Notre Dame, they're going to LSU, they're going to Alabama, and they're playing on those teams. So if we can focus on locking down the walls, keeping out those big players and getting them to Illinois, I think, you know, this program could get going in the right direction if he's able to do that. And the one thing, another big thing that stood out to me, kind of taking the Northwestern or Iowa or even a Wisconsin approach, was his emphasis on development. He spoke about he doesn't care where you're from, big school, small school, private school, wherever, homeschool. You know, if you can play and he sees a vision, whether it's you're coming in and playing as a freshman or you're coming in as, you know, a 250-pound offensive lineman and they're going to put 50 pounds of muscle on you over the next 4 years and play you your senior and redshirt senior year and get you going for the NFL. He's going to select the right talent that'll fit the program. And I think that is so necessary when you're trying to build something, not just for a one hit wonder, 1 year of, you know, we get 8 wins and we're happy. He's building something that for longevity to get this program like an Iowa or like a Northwestern, where it seems like every other year, you know, they're churning out 10 to 11 wins and everybody's like, what the heck? But that's because they're finding those program fitters who they are building, spending time, getting them up to speed for 2-3 years, however long it takes. So that's probably was the number one thing that really impressed me with what he said.
Well, and Mikey, I think that perfectly builds off the point of in-state recruiting. Not that it's the be-all end-all, but it should be the emphasis, because if you're going to be a developmental program in Illinois, because let's face the facts, until we're winning, you know, 10, 11 games a year consistently, we're not going to be getting the 4- and 5-star talent that you're going to be getting. Because, okay, California, Texas, and Florida, those are arguably, you know, the hotbeds of recruiting talent. You're going to get guys who are in the 100s and 200s rankings that would probably be top, maybe even top 10 in like Illinois, something like that. So yes, there is talent to be had there, and you can still go find that. You need to still go find that, because you're not just going to be able to find everything in Illinois, because it's not even really that tier two like New Jersey or Ohio, where those still have like a pretty fair amount of talent through them. It's still kind of a top heavy state where, okay, you've got 25 guys that are going to be coming in and able to contribute at a Big Ten level, and some other guys you're going to need to find some diamonds in the rough, or your evaluation is going to need to be really good. And that's what programs like Iowa and Wisconsin do, where you do get those high win totals, but it's still, you're left wondering, okay, these guys aren't sending, you know, 20 dudes to the NFL over the course of like 2 or 3 years. Like, how are they doing this? It's because they're finding those guys in, you know, Central or Southern Illinois and realizing, okay, if, like you were saying, Mikey, if we put some weight on this guy, he eats a lot and he turns into a Big Ten lineman, then that's all we really need, because And I think that's one thing that I will definitely appreciate about Coach Brett Bielema is that he seemed to place that emphasis on the trenches. I mean, I know that he was a guy in the trenches back in his playing days, so he knows how that rides. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those where knowing that and getting that emphasis on developing guys like that, I'm all for it, because you are going to have, you know, and even if you can attract those guys that are going to Notre Dame or even Wisconsin or, you know, Texas or Florida or wherever, if they're leaving the state, you still got to be able to find your guys in state to develop, because that's where your bread is buttered. Especially, I mean, just look at the offensive line, for example, and how all those guys are from the state of Illinois, and they developed in different ways and had different paths through their high school. And with Virtus's, you know, prep career, it's there are different paths, but you can still find those guys in the state, especially.
It'll be really interesting to see how they move forward here with a lot of these seniors that could come back for another year as well. There's obviously a lot of conversations to be had, whether it be NFL or guys maybe grad transferring, moving on if they don't think they have a place there. So I'm very interested to see, you know, how that shakes out.
Yeah, I think starting on the defensive side of the ball, one guy who obviously we all want to see come back is number 35, Jake Hansen, leader of the defense. But from a selfish standpoint, that's a guy who's battled injuries. You know, he had the ACL, he had the labrum, had some issues with his back last year, and he's put together now two or three really good seasons in a row. So if I'm Jake, I'm probably, you know, heading to the league and taking my shot at making some money. But when you look at guys like Nate Hobbs, Tony Adams, Owen Carney, you know, even Isaiah Gay, those guys who really made more of an impact this year, Nate Hobbs aside, I did not think he had the best year, but those guys could come back with a program that's going to have hype. Scouts will be watching because they're bringing Brett Bielema, a guy who just spent two or three years in the NFL. They can come back and really, really up their draft stock. So I know he's in their ears telling them that. And if we do get some of those key players back, I think next year could go. I know it's year one of a rebuild, so we shouldn't be expecting much. But if we can get some of those key players this year to come back, it can go a lot better than one might expect.
Well, and it's also honestly pretty nice how the 2021 season shapes up with the COVID situation. And right, selfishly, we can hope for the entire roster back, and then you just hope that Coach Bielema makes his correct evaluations in terms of, okay, here's who should be starting, here's who shouldn't be. You know, maybe you have a guy like, even I not to pick on Kendall Smith because he's obviously a Big Ten athlete and I'm just a dude sitting here podcasting, but
John's,
he obviously
get
didn't
kicked in the nuts one more time.
Yeah, exactly. Just add another name to the list in terms of guys who would hate me. But even just a guy like that, like a depth piece who can go and maybe play special teams or maybe even, I don't know, Coach Bielema develops him. I don't know, but selfishly, you can keep him and it's not going to hurt the team at all in terms of like limiting scholarships or whatever. So usually you might have a new coach come in and he's going to, you know, maybe force some guys out because he's got to make way for some recruits that he's got his eyes on, or he just wants open spaces so that he knows what he can deal with in a 25 man class in terms of his next recruiting class. That's not really going to be the issue in terms of guys who are seniors. And especially like you were saying, in terms of a Jake Hansen, I mean, I selfishly want him back just to make sure that he's donning the orange and blue again another year. But I also think that maybe there's more of a pull from Coach Bielema because he seems like the kind of guy who's going to try and sell you. Whereas I think, let's look at Wole Batiku. That's a guy who Coach Lovie Smith probably was like, all right, we would love to have you back, but it's obviously your decision to make, and we want what's best for your future, and we don't want to sway you in a way that you would then have regrets. Totally understand that. That's what the man of integrity and honor does in terms of how he lets a man live his life. But I think that if you had Brett Bielema in that seat, he might be more like, okay, so here's what I'm thinking, and here's why I think you probably shouldn't go to the league. And then he would give X, Y, and Z, and probably give more of a hard sell in terms of why you should stay here, and still give the ultimately it's your decision line, but maybe go a little bit harder in terms of trying to bring guys like that back to the program. So that's where I think it's a little bit more advantageous to have a guy like him coming in for this kind of special situation that we have now in 2021. So hopefully, you know, you can bring most of the roster back and add who he thinks he needs to add in terms of maybe some more recruits or maybe some grad transfers or regular transfers or whatever. But I think that he's got the right kind of attitude, and hopefully he can maintain some of those guys, Mikey, like you were saying, who are who really played into their own this year and can be impactful next year as well.
Yeah, there's a few routes they could go. Obviously, trying A is try to keep the guys that are currently on the roster, bring them back for another year, the seniors that would be graduating, bring back some continuity there. B would be try to go get some of these recruits that haven't signed anywhere yet, but it's pretty late in the process there. And then that leaves transfers from other schools, you know, grad transfers or other transfers. I think there's not going to be a sit out year, so they can come in, play right away. So I'm curious to see. I think first of all, he's going to try to get as many players back as he can for the continuity purpose. Then I bet he goes to the grad transfer market just because it's so late in the process this year before, you know, he sees what talent is still left out there. But, you know, he's got connections other places. He's got guys he's recruited previously that are still in college that, you know, he might be able to go snag. So I'm curious to see what he does here in the next few months leading into next season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many, if any, he can flip that are verbaled somewhere. I'm not sure the numbers in terms of early signees from the state of Illinois specifically, but if there are some of those, you know, top 25 guys that are committed to an Iowa or committed to a Northwestern, to see if he could go in, sell the vision and get them to flip. So that's something I think we should definitely keep our eye on. And again, he hasn't put his staff together yet. So that's another thing that I'm sure he's focused on first and foremost, is putting together that staff. And I saw that Josh Whitman upped the assistant pool from, I believe, $4 million to $5 million, which is huge. It puts us up par with those blue chip programs to go out there and recruit the best staff that we can put together, and a staff that we can put together for the long term.
Yeah, and I think that that also, you know, just allows you to go in and sell your vision to recruits as well, even as you're putting a staff together. Just say, okay, look at, we got the facilities. That's the other thing too that I loved about the press conference. Mm-hmm. Not that Coach Lovie Smith wasn't trying to sell, you know, the recent structural masterpiece that had just been built, but I think the fact that you heard Coach Bielema say it as many times as he did, he's going to use that in his sell big time. And so he can say, okay, you know, look at this. We've already got the facilities. You'd be getting a guy who's had success in the Big Ten, coached in the SEC, coached in the NFL and himself. Not that he would say it that exact way, but you know what I mean. And then also I've got, you know, X amount of dollars that is on par with, you know, an Ohio, or not quite an Ohio State, but
top
up
five
there
in the Big Ten.
Yes. Exactly. You've got a top five salary pool in the Big Ten. We're going to be investing in you and your future and making sure that we're developing you into the best player that you can be, even if you don't have the staff completely filled, because there, yeah, probably are guys out there that, and that's the other thing too, not to go back all the way back to the head, the head of the high school association thing, but even like that little bit of outreach will indirectly help the program. And I think that him touching on that in his press conference and talking about how, you know, if you are in the state, you can help support us. It doesn't even need to be direct. Like, it, let's say the head coach of Jacksonville, you know, they don't turn out a Division I prospect for another 20 some odd years.
Home of Gabe Megison, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like one of those where, yeah, sorry, maybe they don't have another Gabe Megison come around for, you know, another 20 some odd years. But that's okay, because maybe you have contact with that head coach there at Jacksonville and he lets you know that, hey, you know, this kid from small town, wherever, sorry that I do not know the geography of central and southern Illinois as well as I should, but say he lets you know about some kid that they just played against who gave him a really good look, even if it's just in passing, as long as you build up that relationship there. And this goes for, and so you take that example, and that's anecdotal and hypothetical, but you take that and you put that to, you know, a couple dozen other head coaches in the high school ranks. You can build out something that then turns into like a network that then you sustain your program off of. And it's not even direct help. It's just indirect, because you're hearing things from other guys and corroborating, you know, your evaluation of their film. And that's what you need. So that's where I love that he got after that early. And some people, like cynical people, are just thinking, oh yeah, well, I mean, of course, like, it's just looking good because Coach Lovie Smith didn't do anything, or mm-hmm. how is that really going to help? But I think that, if, and I'm more the optimist, obviously, but I think that that also could help just even in the indirect sense that I just stated. So I love that he's getting out there and getting after it. I'm convinced that he'll do light years better than what we've seen in recent vintage in terms of in-state recruiting.
Yeah. I think Lovie's, one of his biggest critiques from the fan base was his lack of focus on the in-state recruiting, and Bielema seems to be kind of the complete opposite, where he comes in and says, we're going to put an extra focus on in-state recruiting and trying to get all these kids. And even Juice Williams, when he came on our podcast, was talking about, you know, mid early 2000s Illinois football, those guys were going and getting all these Chicago recruits and Illinois kids, and the players themselves knew them, like you said, and, you know, it forms a stronger bond. And I think it goes light years beyond just one kid, building relationships with whole school programs and family and friends of these players that are coming in there. So if you can go and start locking down the state a little bit, I think it pays dividends years beyond just the first couple years of recruiting.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm a offensive line, I spoke to Nick Allegretti, who many of the listeners probably know. He played for the Illini for 5 years and actually won a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs last year. He told me, if I'm an offensive lineman, I am 100%. If I'm from the state of Illinois, I'm going to University of Illinois now, just because of the draw of Brett Bielema, of what he's been able to do, churning out, you know, those hogs up front. And just hearing that from him, you know, somebody as highly touted as he is, I think, you know, we're going to be, at least myself, I'll be a little bit surprised with how good he will be able to do and getting those athletes and those linemen to University of Illinois.
If he could get just a sliver of what he had at Wisconsin for those offensive linemen, I think everyone, the whole Illini fan base, would be ecstatic. Because think of how good their O-lines have just been year in and year out. If he can build a similar culture and start getting some of those kind of guys and, you know, become a mini Wisconsin even, I think that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and that goes back to the development aspect of what he spoke about. You know, going and getting those guys who are an inch too short or 30 pounds underweight and fitting them into the program because they do have potential. So you see that at Wisconsin, you see that at Iowa, those guys go ride the bench for 3 years and learn and put on the correct weight, learn the correct technique, and then they're dominant. And it's just churning out, you know, good season after good season. So it's, you know, sky's the limit with this team, and it will take time. Obviously, as we know, nothing, especially in college football, is the hardest program to turn around in sports, in my opinion. But, you know, with Coach Bielema at the helm, you know, I'm definitely drinking the juice right now.
One of my favorite recurring bits on this podcast is Mikey with his like humble introductions of folks. It's like, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, one of these coaches, he's in the NFL, Nick Allegretti, you know, I don't know if you knew, but he played 5 years for the Illini. It's like, we need to have just like a list of like, oh, Mikey, can you tell us who Bill Gates is? Oh, you know, he's this guy, he started up this small startup and happened to revolution. It's one of my favorite things. It's like, yeah, Nick Allegretti, that one guy he's starting in the NFL, right? Yeah.
People might have heard of him.
I guess that, I mean, that's probably obviously my bad, but Nick.
Oh, it's not, you know,
he's one of my best friends. So it's weird for me to, you know, not
describe him,
talk him up, but he's just
got to hype up your boy,
you know? Yeah.
Once again, I'm just looking for the listener of this podcast who doesn't know who Nick Allegretti is. And once again, like I said with Bill Belichick, please DM me because I want to have like coffee with you. I will Zoom you. I will FaceTime you, whatever you want. I want to know who you are and why you're listening to this podcast and how you don't know who Nick Allegretti is.
I think we should unveil a little listener, get a listener on here maybe to talk up some Illini with us one of these days. What do you guys think?
Yeah, just put me in my place.
Special guest episode.
Yeah, get a little...
Have the folks call in. Maybe that's what we should do.
We got to get Coach Bielema on here at some point. I need to ask him about that Iowa tattoo, so... We'll be getting him at some point because we got some questions for him. We're gonna ask the hard hitting stuff too. So
2021, we're coming out with a bang. We got a nice little lineup ready for the listeners. So
maybe Nicky Allegretti, you know, after coming off a Super Bowl.
After their Super Bowl, yeah, get him on here.
Oh, we got some people lined up. But one last thing I do want to touch on before we hop off here is we talked a little bit about the staff, but scheme wise, schematically, what do we think? I know Coach Bielema came out and said he's looking at hopefully running a 3-4 defense. And then I think he did walk that back a little bit and said, you know, we'll have to adjust and see what the personnel and the staff want. But he was kind of tipping his cap there at first. And then offensively, he seems to be more of a pro-style guy from what we've seen in the past. But do you guys have any thoughts as to which direction he's going to go schematically, you know, this season and with the program moving forward?
I thought I saw something. Maybe I just dreamt this because this is what I want. But I thought I saw something where he, on the offensive side of the ball, he said something along the lines of, we're going to use the entire field, which makes me think we're going to have some sort of spread built in with that pro style. Because, you know, the pro style, it'll win you games once you can build it. But it's I don't know if anyone here has watched a lot of Wisconsin or Iowa. They're not the most fun teams to watch, but they do win. And when you win it, you know, it solves a lot of issues. But I would like to see our offense use some of that spread because, you know, college football is the spread offense, you know, the quick offense, the 15 seconds in between plays style. So if he could somehow morph the two of those together with a balance, I would love to see that.
Well, and it would just be stubborn too. I mean, to look at the roster that he currently has and be like, all right, we're going to establish this pro style offense with no elements of the spread at all, because obviously he's got quarterbacks and Isaiah Williams and Deuce Spann and even Matt Robinson and Caron Taylor, who are, you know, more dual threat in nature, and you can utilize athletes like that. And that's actually, you know, in talking about not even just scheme, but guys who are, you know, like Isaiah Williams, my hope is that he can build something that at least utilizes that talent, because I would really hate to see Isaiah be like, all right, if I'm just going to be handing the ball off 30 times and maybe throwing it 15 times for the next 3 to 4 years, I'm just going to transfer to like USC and go play wide receiver there and try and make it to the league instead of chasing my dream of being a quarterback and doing all this that he was hoping for when he came to the University of Illinois. So that's where I'm kind of hoping that there is that melding. And I mean, honestly, even like Wisconsin and Iowa have spread elements in their game. Like Wisconsin uses a bunch of jet motion. Iowa will use their wide receivers because they get good talent there. So it's not like, and that's one thing, Mikey, you were saying. I know Coach Bielema said that, where he talked about, since he's been out of the Big Ten, it's gotten more east to west and not just straight north and south in terms of the nature of the Big Ten. So that's good that he recognizes that. Hopefully that helps inform him in terms of what he's looking for in offense. And we'll know more once he hires his staff and we can kind of pick apart what their schemes were when they were at previous stops or what they did, and maybe parse out what Coach Bielema is going to be all about. But yeah, I think we're not going to just have, you know, a straight, all right, we're going to put two tight ends in line. We're going to have a fullback and one wide receiver who's like, you know, 6'3". Yeah. And then we're going to 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I don't think that's quite going to be what it is, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I did see one play from like 6 years ago on Coach Bielema's timeline that he retweeted. And it was, I think it was a field goal attempt, but they audibled the left guard into the backfield and they snapped it to him and he threw a pass to maybe one of the other linemen and they caught it for a touchdown. And I was like, man, do you think Lovie Smith would have ever considered a play like that? But it's
never.
Just having that sort of creativity and innovation excites me, and that he's, you know, willing to go outside the norm to create new plays and see if he can test the limits of college football a little bit. So I am looking forward to that. And we have some waiting to be done before we get football back. It's going to be, he talked about a spring game, you know, there's gonna be practices and stuff leading up to that, but I'm sure we won't have, in today's world where the media is not allowed into a lot of these practices and things, we're not gonna have too many details as to how things are going until, you know, maybe that spring game a few months from now. So there's gonna be a lot of waiting and a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but I'm anxious and, you know, excited to see what this product looks like come, you know, this time next year.
Yeah, I'm super excited. You know, I like I said, I could just be drinking the juice of, you know, getting the new head coach and thinking about all the what ifs, but I'm very, very, very excited to watch this team going forward. And I'm not expecting next year to make it to the Rose Bowl. Like, I have realistic expectations, but I do think we will see this program turn around. And I mean, feel free to, you know, tell me I'm wrong, but I truly think since Coach Lovie Smith took over the program, it is in worse shape than he left it. So that is not what you want. I mean, I know we had the one good year. Good is relative, but last year where we made it to a bowl game. But in terms of, you know, having a good program year in and year out, 5 years later, I truly think we're in worse shape. So
how many years of eligibility do you have left?
Oh, man.
Would you play for Coach
with Bielma? COVID? Maybe three.
Yeah, no, I probably have. Can't you technically get 7 years of eligibility?
I don't know.
Who knows?
You're the guy to ask.
Yeah, I know I for sure got one. So who knows? Maybe I'll be.
So you thinking about suiting back up for Coach Bielma?
Who knows? We'll see. If he's looking for that Jared Eberderis, maybe I'll throw the uniform back on. No.
Yeah, I think just to not to go too in depth on that last point, Mikey, but I think Lovie Smith helped bring the talent base up a little bit in terms of the athletes he was recruiting. But I think the development A wasn't there, and then B, like I touched on earlier, the accountability was definitely not there. And you had guys who were just making dumb decisions, dumb plays, and not helping the team win. So then you had that inconsistency, and you weren't really building a program because the mentality was not there to build said program with a strong base. But yeah, I think that hopefully Coach Bielma can build from there. And I think it's even like just to take it a step up, I think hopefully we're talking about this in the way that we are Brad Underwood and that, you know, Josh Whitman found his guy. And it seems like he kind of did. I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, Josh Whitman is a great salesman. And now we can see why he raised so much money to build the Smith Center, because that dude, when he believes in something, he can sell it real well. And I know that he believes in that Bielma hire. But I think it's also one of those where he can sell it a lot more and with a much more genuine nature, because I think he found a guy who buys into him. I mean, it's eerie, kind of how the similarities to Underwood too, with like, oh yeah, he wrote on his on a sheet of paper his dream job was Illinois, and now Bielma's got an orange crush towel when he was a kid. And it's just like things like that you know Whitman loves, and he's like, all right, we can build. And I remember reading a couple things just strewn about the internet about people being worried about Bielma wanting to take like the Iowa job. Maybe this is just a stepping stone. Doesn't really seem like that in terms of the way that he was talking with his affinity for not only the state of Illinois, but even the university. So hopefully this is one of those where it's a long and fruitful marriage, and hopefully Josh Whitman got his guy.
Yeah. I mean, did you see those two? They dapped each other up when Brett got off the plane. I like rewatched it like three times, and I was like, that was pretty smooth. Like if that's how this relationship's going to be, I think it's going to work out well.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Well, that is this episode of the Field Pass. We have the holidays coming up. Happy holidays to everyone listening. And we'll be back. We'll reconvene after the holidays for another episode. But if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook at The Field Pass. Feel free to send us a message, any questions, things you have. We're happy to interact and give you a little feedback. So thanks again for listening, and go Illini.